for tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, July the 10th, 1993. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the speaker of the morning.
Stand together. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you again this morning for allowing us to come together, Lord. We thank you, Lord, again for this day. This is the day you've made. And thank you, Lord, for the sunshine, outside and inside. And Lord, as we approach the Word, again, we approach it reverently. We ask the Holy Spirit to quicken us together as we study in the name of Jesus. And we all said amen. Amen. Praise God. I was thinking there a while ago, sitting there, I'm not going to teach on this, but I was thinking, you know, for some reason, the Lord just began to speak to me there about why many are sick. You know, there's a lot of people in the church that's sick today. And how many know we battle things in our bodies at times? But I tell you, you know, there's something greater than healing, and that's health. How many like to walk in total health? Well, how many know it takes faith to come to that place? And God has to work that faith in all of us. And we certainly don't go around condemning anybody that's not walking in that realm. But I was thinking today, you know, there's a man in I just want to share a few things here before we get the Word. I was thinking about Epaphroditus in chapter 2 of Philippians. This man had overworked himself in the work of God, the service of God, and he was nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. You know, you can overwork yourself in the things of God. You can overdo it. You know, Jesus would come aside with the apostles, and they would come apart. Literally, he'd bring them apart before they come apart. And so, I mean, no, we have to have time to rest, even in the things of God. And so, overworking, even in the things of God, you can get sick and you get hit. And you've got to have wisdom when to move in God and when not to move. Praise the Lord. And then I was thinking about in 2 Chronicles 16, Asa was diseased in his feet, the Bible says. And the reason, because he put doctors ahead of Jesus, of the Lord. How many know doctors are fine, and we thank God for doctors. But how many know Dr. Jesus is who we need to look to first? Amen? Amen. And then I was thinking about curses bring sicknesses. Deuteronomy 28. I was thinking about if we don't judge ourselves, we get sick. Some are weak, some are sick, some even die. When we don't judge the body of Christ. I was thinking about Uzziah because of pride and rebellion coming in. The Bible said that he was smitten with leprosy right in his forehead, and he died because of rebellion and pride. That'll destroy us, won't it? Somebody say amen. 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 And covetousness will destroy you. Covetousness will bring sickness and disease into your life. It will take you out early if you covet many times. I could go and show you the servant of Elisha. He coveted for gold and silver and raiment. And it brought leprosy up, not upon him, but upon all of his seed. And they died lepers. And then there's a bloodline. Sins of our fathers that bring things to the bloodline, such as heart attacks, blood diseases, and cancer, and all those things that we have to war against. And then there's the fall of man, that, of course, that brought in sickness and disease. And then last, I just want to show you this one scripture. Turn to Revelation 16. Those who follow after the beast are going to be hit. Revelation 16, just one scripture. Then I want to go to the word today we're going to teach. Chapter 16, and in verse 8, the fourth angel pours out his vial upon the sun, and it's going to scorch men with fire, it says. And verse 9, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of the heavens, notice, because of their pains and their what? Sores, and repented not of their deeds. I want you to notice that. So those who follow the beast are going to be hit with sickness and with disease. There is a beast system in the world. And if we follow that which is beastly, we can be hid in our bodies. Now, let's turn today to Peter. I want to give you a scripture in first, starting off in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, that the Lord has given me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. And it says, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now notice that phrase. They preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Praise God. How many know this Holy Ghost preaching is beyond the norm? It's abnormal to the flesh. It's abnormal to the carnal. It is power-packed preaching that God's people heard even in the Old Testament. How many know we need some power-packed preaching today in our services? Come on, help me now. Amen. They were anointed preaching services. Praise God. Gospel preaching. That's the grace of God. It's prophetic as well. It's the cross. How many know the power of the cross must still be preached? Amen? And it brought a fervency. It brought a fire. It brought fortification into people's lives. Even the angels desire to look into it. And the Bible said it was the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Hallelujah. How many know heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool, he says. And heaven's the place of government. It was Holy Ghost preaching, God's government, God's authority, God's rulership, the overcoming realm. God sent the Holy Ghost. And John saw the Holy Ghost. John saw the Holy Ghost coming upon Jesus. Remember that? In the form of a dove. It was sent down from God the Father. Hallelujah. Turn to the book of Acts now. Turn to the book of Acts. And we want to touch a few things here today. The book of Acts. In chapter, we'll go to chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I want to teach out of the book of Acts. How many thank God for the book of Acts? I don't think we do enough studying in the book of Acts, personally. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. It says here, until the day in which he was taken up. That's Jesus. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Well, how many believe the Holy Ghost is still teaching the commandments of God? To obey God. If you love me, said, you'll keep my commandments. Isn't that right?
Yes.
The Holy Ghost in you and in me is telling us to keep His commandments. Praise God. His sayings, His words. And I tell you, you'll keep the commandments of God. You'll have the anointing of God in your life. And you'll have the love of God in your life. How many believe that? Amen. Look in verse 5. Verse 5, Jesus had told them to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And we know that after Jesus went back to heaven, after 40 days, 10 days later, the Holy Ghost fell. So it wasn't too many days till the Spirit of God fell and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, to be baptized in water after you accepted Jesus and after you've been blood washed, it speaks of a contract. It speaks of a covenant. Water baptism speaks of a covenant. That you're not just going to stop there, you're going to go all the way. How many know there's another baptism? Baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then there's the baptism into the body of Christ, which we don't know much about. People don't talk about it, don't preach about it. I don't believe you're automatically in the body when you get saved. I believe God is leading us by the Holy Ghost into the body. As Brother Flynn touched on that the other night. I won't go into that. But there is a baptism in water, baptism of the Holy Ghost, baptism in the body of Christ. Then there's a baptism of suffering. How many know there's a baptism we must be baptized with, he says. Amen? Jesus asked the disciples that. Are you able to be baptized with my baptism? There is a baptism of suffering as well. Praise God. Now look in verse 8. He said here, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Is what? Come upon you. How many know He's come upon us and He's come in us? You'll receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now to receive power here after He's come upon you, how many know that's an experience? How many's had an experience of the Holy Ghost coming on you? Sure you have. And what else did He say? He said, ye shall be witnesses or martyrs unto me. That's an expression. It's unto Him. We're not just witnesses for Him. We're witnesses unto Him. And yet He uses us to reach mankind, doesn't He? And then He said, not only is there an experience and there's an expression, but He said it's going to happen and start in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and even the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's an expansion. Praise God. And I said this the other night. I've been stimulated in my heart when I received Jesus. When I was filled with the Holy Ghost, He stimulated me. He caused my spirit to come alive. Amen? How many know your spirit's dead till He awakens you? Hallelujah. Well, the Holy Ghost will awaken you. Amen. Glory. I need some more awakening today. How about you? In my inner man. And then we must experience Him in our soul, our mind, will, emotions, and desires. That's the battleground. And yet we must demonstrate Him in our physical body. We clap our hands, we dance, we shout, whatever, you know, out here. And we carry on the work of God as well. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. That power of God, that dunamis, that dynamite, that dynamo, that explosive power coming within. The earnest of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And the Bible said we've only tasted of the powers of the world to come, the age to come. Well, if I just got a taste, I'm ready for the whole candy bar. How about you? Glory. I'm waiting for it, aren't you? For the fullness. Come on, help me shout this morning. Amen. Amen. We need the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. And notice He said something here to us, brethren. He said it would start in Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem means peace. And that represents your home. How many know we need the Holy Ghost in our homes today? Yes, sir. You and I both. Then in Judea. And the word Judea and Judas and Judah, basically, is the same word. And Judah means low ground. How many know there's some people living in low ground today? Come on, help me now. There's some people living in low ground. They need the Holy Ghost to reach them. Amen? How many know the storm's coming? Jesus said, those that are in Judea, get to the mountains. Get up out of that low ground. Get up there in the mountains. Praise God. Judgments are coming. We need to warn people to get up higher. Hallelujah. Now, Judea represents our state. I mean, our state needs to be reached for God. Isn't that right? Amen. But also Judea, Judas, and Judah, all the same word. It speaks of betrayal. Judas was a betrayer. And what betrays is that which comes out of your head, not out of your heart. It'll betray you every time. It'll betray God. And so we need to reach Jerusalem, our home. We need to reach Judea, our state. And then there's Samaria. Samaria is a racial. There was such a racial thing between the Jews and the Samaritans. They hated one another. Amen? But I'll tell you, for race, you need the word grace. How many know that'll cover? Just put a G in front of race. You got grace. Grace will cover all. Samaria speaks of the nation. The Samaritan woman, we know Jesus led her to Himself. They would not receive Him at another time because His face was going to Jerusalem. But Philip and John went down and preached to the Samaritans. And then Samaria speaks of the nation. And then you have the world, which speaks of the Great Commission. But a lot of people are trying to jump from Jerusalem to the world, but you've got to overcome three princes there. There's Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. Praise God. Now let's go back to the book of Acts. And notice what he says here. Let's go to Acts 1:16. 1:16 here in the Scriptures with me. Notice what it says. Men and brethren, this Scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. How many know the Holy Ghost back in the book of Psalms? Back in Psalms 41, and I think there's another Psalm, warned that this man, Judas, would betray our Lord. Isn't that right? How many know the Holy Ghost can show us things to come? He can warn us. Oh, brethren, we need to listen and rely upon the Holy Spirit this morning. He has all the answers that we need. Hallelujah. He can show you that which is false from that which is true. We dealt with that the other night. Look in chapter 2. Look in chapter 2. Here we dealt with this the other night. On the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there come a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. I tell you, we need our houses filled with the Holy Ghost. This house. We need this house filled today. Glory. Come on. Amen. Somebody said, well, I've already received. Well, you need to receive again today and tomorrow and the next day. We need an infilling every day with the Holy Ghost. We need some freshness in the Spirit in our lives. Somebody say amen. Hope I don't break this pulpit. Hallelujah. Amen. But suddenly there come a sound from heaven, where they were sitting, and there appeared cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set on them. While they were sitting, something set on them. The Holy Ghost came on them. Oh, I'll tell you, it won't be the same when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you. Amen? When He starts sitting on you and ministering to you, you're not the same. You'll never be the same. Hallelujah. And the Spirit, of course, came into them and filled them. with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. There was an immersion. There was an infilling. There was an outflow. Oh, praise God. I want to be immersed in the Spirit. I want to have an inflow in my life. I want to have an outflow. I want to reach somebody. But I can't do it unless God's done a work in me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory. Look in chapter 2, verse 33. Chapter 2, verse 33 of Acts. The Bible said here in this verse, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted. How many know He's exalted today? Jesus is there at the Father's right hand. And when you get the Holy Ghost, how many know it makes it more real in your life that He's there? Oh, yes. They can say God's dead, but I've got news for them. He's alive. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which you now see and you hear. You're going to see something and you're going to hear something when God starts moving. Amen?
Amen.
Like Bill said, you know, this place, heaven's not going to be quiet. There's going to be a lot of noise up there. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. There's going to be some shaking, rattling, rolling in heaven, I guess. Praise God. We need a little up right here, though, don't we?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, look down in verse what? That's 33. He said in that verse 33 again, I want to read it again. He said, the promise of the Holy Ghost was given. He has shed forth this, which you now see and you hear, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then look up in verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you might, or if you get good enough, you might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. No, he said, you shall receive. You shall receive. Hallelujah. We got all these people that say, well, if it's for me, God will give it to me. Let me tell you something. It's for you if you want it. It is a gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. Come on. God wants to put it in you and give it to you. Hallelujah. I prayed for a man one time that had sought the Holy Ghost 20 years, never received it. God had me call him out, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and the glory came down in that place. I'll never forget it. Praise God. But that man could have had it 20 years ago that had some teaching and preaching that was right. Amen. But maybe there were things in his own life that kept him back. How many of us right here between our ears? You can't receive the Holy Ghost. There's something right here holding you back. Amen. Sometimes I know another lady one time came and I prayed for her. Others prayed for her. She could never receive the Holy Ghost. One night I saw a lady cast a spear, a python out of her. When that python come out, man, immediately she received the Holy Ghost. There are things that can hold you back from receiving. Amen. But God, if you want it, it's for you. Hallelujah. Now, look here in chapter 39, 239 now. For the promise is unto you. That's me. That's you. And to your children. That's your family. I mean, our kids need to be filled with the Holy Ghost too. And to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You see, that takes in all of us if we want it. God's not going to leave anybody out. Hallelujah. And so it's for us and our children and for those that are far off, this gift of God. Now, look in chapter 4. Look in chapter 4 and verse 8. Hallelujah. And it says in this verse, they were asking, what power and what name are you doing all this work? And Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, Peter got filled at Pentecost, didn't he? And here it's saying, now Peter's filled again. He was a fanatic, wasn't he? Said to them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known to you all. And to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. I mean, oh, Jesus is still in the healing business by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? I tell you, we preach more on the Holy Ghost, we're going to see more people healed.
Amen.
Chapter 4, verse 31. Going to see more people filled, more people delivered. 4:31. Hallelujah. Now, Peter's in this group as well. He's going to get filled again here. Now, I didn't say that, but he's right in the midst here. Hallelujah. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Wouldn't it be good to see some churches shaken today?
Amen.
Come on. It'd be good to see you and I get shaken. It'd be good to see our family shaken. Come on, in the right way now. It'd be good to see the government get shook. God said, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. He's going to shake all the nations. And right here, there's a shaking going on. Hallelujah. And notice they were assembled together. No wonder God's shaking. Somebody come together. Praise God. I tell you, in some place, you can't get the people of God together. Little old storm come up, and people won't even come to the meeting. Little old snowstorm, a half inch or a snow, and you can't even get them out. Some places. Come on, don't shut me down. Hallelujah. It's true. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. How many was filled?
All.
And they spake the word of God with boldness. And what happened in the next verse? The Bible said in the next verse, they were one heart and one soul. And you can't be one in your heart and soul without being filled with the Spirit. No way. That's why there's so much division. Because people are not filled and staying filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? If you don't stay filled with the Spirit, there's a division, there's a divisive spirit that gets a hold of you, and you're not unified, you're going the other direction. Now, he says here now, in chapter 4, in verse 31, they were one heart and they were one soul. Now, let's go to chapter 5. Chapter 5, Peter tells Ananias and Sapphira. Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled to lie to the Holy Ghost? How many know that's dangerous? And great fear came upon all the people that heard and saw what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. Look down to verse 11 just a minute. It said, great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Now, I want you to notice something. When the fear of God hits the church, there's going to be signs and wonders. When the fear of God, the reverential fear of God, comes into the church, you're going to have the supernatural. I said you're going to have it. You don't have to work it up. God's going to be there. Hallelujah. God's going to be there. The signs and wonders are going to be there if we have the reverential fear of God. Now notice what else it says, brethren. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with what? One accord. There's that unity. All right? And of the rest, there's no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Praise God. That's church growth. Now, I know we have all these big seminars about, you know, church growth. But if you got the fear of God, you're going to have the supernatural. You're going to have unity. And God's going to reach out and save men and women. The church is going to grow. Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. If you don't believe it, read right on down how they go out and get people and bring them in. And everyone was healed. It was vexed with unclean spirits. And of course, that just thrilled the Sadducees. Because they were not filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with jealousy. I mean, when God starts moving, somebody else starts moving in the wrong direction. Huh? Persecution arises. Somebody don't like it. Come on. Now look in chapter 5, verse 32. Peter said these words, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Start obeying the Holy Ghost. You'll have an anointing. You'll have a flow in your life. Amen? Praise God. You quit obeying God, it'll stop the flow of the anointing in your life. God, obedience is better than sacrifice. God wants each one of us to obey Him by the Spirit. Hallelujah. So He gives the Holy Ghost to those that obey Him. Look back in verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, after they told him, well, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Thank God, I wish we could fill hot springs with our doctrine, don't you? Come on. Tulsa, other cities. But he said, notice what they said in verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. God gives the Holy Ghost to those that obey Him. Praise God. Look in chapter 6. Chapter 6, we see there's a choosing out here. It says the 12 called the multitude of the disciples in verse 2. And they're saying it's not reason we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look you out among you, seven men of honest report. Number one, I mean, God wants us to be honest if we're going to be in the ministry of any kind. Number two, full of the Holy Ghost. Well, that cut out a lot of leaders right there, wouldn't it? Three, and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we, the apostles ourselves, will give ourselves continue to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And I want to tell you, as a minister, how many know you've got to spend time with God and you've got to spend time in this book?
Amen.
Amen. And of course, they set in verse 5, the saying pleased the whole multitude. They chose Stephen, a man, notice, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Glory. Hallelujah. I want to see some leaders filled with faith and the Holy Ghost. Hmm? Yes, sir. And verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid their hands on them. Well, how many know those apostles had enough discerning? If somebody was the wrong one, they would have called him out right quick. They knew by the Spirit, didn't they? And the Word of God increased, and disciples began to multiply there in Jerusalem. Look in chapter 7. Look in chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 51. Here Stephen's preaching his last sermon. Last message. I don't really like that word sermon. His last message. Sermon it for Christianettes. No. Praise God. 751. I don't like to use it too much. 751. Notice what Stephen says. You stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. You talking about the sins of the fathers. That unbelief in the fathers come right into the sons. He said, you resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe if you got a problem with unbelief, maybe it was in your daddy and in your grandpa. Come on, help me. And in mine. But God's able to override that if we believe. Look in chapter 7, verse 55. But he being full, come on, he being full, this is Stephen, of the Holy Ghost. We just read over in chapter 6 he was full. Now he being full of the Holy Ghost looked steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing, come on the right hand of God. And he had the open heaven. I'm like Irma. I got to fly up here now. Beelzebub's flying around my head. I'm going to shoot him down here in a minute. Shoot him down the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, he sees Jesus. He sees the heaven open. And Jesus stands up. Glory. And he cries with a loud voice. Here in the end of this chapter, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down. Notice, cry with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He forgave them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. He went on with Jesus. Amen. He went right into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Now look in chapter 8, verse 15. Chapter 8. Philip had come down and preached Jesus to the people. They had received Jesus. They had been set free. They had been delivered. But in chapter 8, verse 15, it says, who when they were come down, this is the apostles now, and notice in verse 14, the church sends them, Peter and John. The church at Jerusalem sent the apostles. How many know we still need to be sent out by the local church? It's God's order. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Somebody laid hands on me when I received. Praise God. They hollered in my ear and slapped me on the back, but I received anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what? It didn't bother me at all. I don't care if they did. I received the Holy Ghost. And I had a good infilling. No matter which way, what all happened, I got it. Praise God. And that's all that matters. Amen? Amen. Now look down in 8, and you know what? I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life, don't you? Amen. So they laid hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost. Now, of course, we know Simon was going to give them money. He thought he could buy this gift of endowment here, that when he laid hands on people, they'd receive the Holy Ghost. You know, there is a gift of laying hands on people receiving the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost is a gift, but there's also a gift that works in people who have that ability to lay hands on people to receive the Holy Ghost. Are you what I'm saying? Amen. Praise God. I heard of a man who one time, God showed him visions of men of the past that God used. And he saw this one man, I believe his name was Jackson or something. He never heard of him. And he saw, God showed him this one meeting. And I think about 500 at once received the Holy Ghost baptism. There is a gift that works through God's servants. Amen? Come on. I've seen people pray for people, could never get them filled. And then here comes somebody God's using, lay hands on them, they receive the Holy Ghost. There's a gift. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. So, anyway, he was going to buy this power, and Peter dealt with him to repent and so forth. Now look in chapter 9. Look in chapter 9, verse 17. 9:17. It says, and Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, that is on Paul, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me. God's going to send somebody, isn't he? Has sent me. And you know, Ananias is not an apostle. He's a disciple. I mean, oh, God's using disciples. He has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Look at the next verse. Immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Glory to God. So Paul received the Holy Ghost infilling through the laying on of hands of Ananias, a disciple, who was obedient to God, who had heard from God, received a word of knowledge, and knew exactly where he was. Look back in verse 11. Here God's telling Ananias, notice, here's a word of knowledge. Arise and go into the street which is called Straight. Go to Straight Street. Hallelujah. Inquire in the house of Judas. He tells him where he's at. One called Saul, that's the one you're going to pray for, of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. I want you to notice the details there. God gives Ananias. And hath seen in a vision. Now, notice, God's working on two ends here, isn't he? How many know he does that? He hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Well, he got something extra. He got his sight. But he was baptized in the Holy Ghost as well. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Then we look at chapter 9, verse 31. Chapter 9, verse 31. It says, then had the churches rest. And this is after persecution of Paul, of Saul. And the churches had rest, had some peace. Thank God for peace. Thank God for rest. Throughout all Judea. Now look at this. And Galilee and Samaria. Now, we know the gospel started in Jerusalem, didn't it? We said that earlier. And now, notice, there's rest in Galilee, there's rest in Judea, rather, and Samaria, and they were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort, oh, hallelujah, of the Holy Ghost, they were multiplied. How many have ever felt the comforting power of God come upon you? Oh, my, there's nothing like it, is it? You can be walking in depression in five minutes and five more minutes. How many know the Spirit can come on you and eradicate that stuff and you feel like you're going to heaven? Amen? Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. We live in heavenly places, don't we? Amen. We're going to heaven. We're there. Praise God. Okay, look in chapter 10. Look in chapter 10, verse 38. 10:38. Thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost. 10:38, notice what it says. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about, just not going about, he went about doing what? Good. Can any good come out of Nazareth? Yes, sir. His name is Jesus. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. My. Our Lord, anointed by the Father, by the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Healing all. Well, God's going to use us too, isn't he? He's going to anoint you, fill you with the Holy Ghost, that others might be delivered and set free from sickness and oppression. Look in chapter 10, verse 44. Here, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost interrupted his message. Well, good. Praise God. How many like to see that? Amen. The Holy Ghost fell. You ever seen the Holy Ghost fall? I remember one service, in this one service, I saw the Holy Ghost coming. It's just like he was coming in waves across this audience. My, one wave had come, then another would come. Hallelujah. Oh, my, I feel as I'm talking right now. I want to see the waves of the Holy Ghost. How many of you ever watch these ball games? They got these waves, you know, people getting up and down. My. I'd like to see the Holy Ghost begin to move that way, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. We call it the wave. The wave of the Holy Ghost. And while yet Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the Jews which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. God's no respecter of persons. For they heard them speak with tongues, magnify God. And then Peter answered, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Praise God. So God visited the Gentiles, filled them with the Spirit, baptized them in water. And notice what it says in verse 46. As they begin to speak in tongues, they begin to magnify God. How many know when you start praying in the Spirit, you begin to magnify your Lord? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Look in chapter 11. Look in chapter 11. Peter's called on the carpet by the hierarchies, or somebody anyway. And he said, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning, at Pentecost. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, that's Jesus, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did to us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? God will pour out his Spirit upon the white, upon the black, come on, upon the yellow, upon the red, upon whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And they said, God has granted repentance to the Gentiles unto life as well. My Lord, my Lord. And we try to limit the Holy Ghost and say it's just for certain people. I want to tell you it's for everybody that will receive Jesus. Amen. Chapter 13. Look in chapter 13. Chapter 13, please. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Let's go back to chapter 11. Excuse me. Go back to chapter 11. Here's a man God sent. Look in verse 22. Tidings come to the church in Jerusalem that God was moving, and they sent Barnabas, who was Paul's brother in the Lord that worked with him. And, of course, notice it says they sent him that he should go as far as Antioch. Now, I want you to see that in verse 22. They sent Barnabas, and they told him how far he could go. Well, how many know those apostles must have heard from God up in Jerusalem? Amen? Then the next verse, who when he was come, they had seen, when he came, he had seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, just like Stephen. And much people was added, come on, to the Lord. When you get filled with faith in the Holy Ghost, somebody's going to get saved. Amen? And then he went to look for Paul, and they began to teach the Word of God. They were first teachers. Now we'll come up to Acts 13. They're prophets. And then in Acts 14, they're apostles. How many of there's progression in the ministry? You don't jump from a teacher. Come on, you don't jump from a teacher to an apostle overnight, do you? In fact, it takes, I'd say, 20 to 25 years to really become an apostle in God, a real strong apostle in the Lord. It takes years to really become. I mean, you may have that calling upon your life, but to really be a full-fledged and really a mature apostle, it takes many years in the Lord. I believe that. Praise God. But here in chapter 13, we see there's prophets. And in verse 2, it says, of chapter 13, it says, as these different ones waited on the Lord, these prophets and teachers, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, the Holy Ghost spoke. Thank God. Thank God for ministry that's open to the Holy Ghost. Thank God for ministry that will stop and wait on the Holy Ghost to speak. How many know we can jump out here ahead of God and miss God? Isn't that right? Praise God. I'm feeling right now. Somebody, people's got trouble right in your right leg, right down in the lower part of your leg. I want you to stand, whoever you are here. You've been having trouble in your leg. Stand to your feet right now. Come on, somebody, stand right up. There's several of you here. Praise God. That's it. Amen. Anyone else? Father, right now, just ask the Holy Ghost to reach out to my brother. I just come against that condition in his leg right now, both of them, in the name of Jesus. I smite that thing in the name of Jesus. And our sister back here, I curse that thing in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to heal my brother, my sister, my brother today, in the mighty name of Jesus right now. Lord, I ask you to bring healing and health and strength into their legs right now. Also in the right arm, right in the elbow, right up through this right arm. Somebody stand up, get trouble in your arm. Stand right to your feet. Who are you? Right now, in the name of Jesus. I speak healing. I speak healing to my brother and my sister back here. I command all that pain and all that circulation problem in the name of Jesus. Loose her and loose him in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Let's give him a good hand. Come on. Come on. Praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, hallelujah. Gets talking on the Holy Ghost. He starts moving, doesn't he? Amen. So, as they waited on the Lord, the Bible said here, God spoke to them in verse 2. And the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now, God had called them, but now He's going to separate them out into the apostolic work. And they're going to go out, be sent out by God. Verse 3, "And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away." So they being sent forth by the council or by the denomination. No. By the Holy Ghost. If you don't hear from the Holy Ghost, you better stay home. Isn't that right? Come on. There's those that got their airplane tickets and train tickets and bus tickets. Maybe God hadn't spoken. They better go back home. God's got to send those that go. Amen. Now look in chapter 13, verse 9. It says here in this verse, "Then Saul." Now here, Paul's going to has met up with this sorcerer, this false prophet who had turned a man, tried to turn a man from hearing the gospel. And it said, "Then Saul, who is called Paul." You know, Saul means large one. Paul means little one. He's little in himself, but he's big in God. Notice, "filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, Paul, no, I want you to notice, here's another infilling in Paul's life. "Set his eyes on him." Another paraphrase said he glared at him and said, he said, notice, "Oh, full," F-U-L-L. Paul's fill. Now, this other man's fill, but it's not God. "Oh, full of all subtlety and mischief, all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." That's a working miracle that smote this man with blindness through Paul. "And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand." And notice the next verse. This man that he tried to turn away from the gospel, "Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." Glory. Amen. Now, look in chapter 13. And look at verse 52, I believe it is. 13:52. And it says here, this is concerning Paul and those that are with him. They're shaking the dust off their feet here, and exactly what Jesus told them in verse 52. "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Oh, hallelujah. Joy, filled with joy and filled with the Holy Ghost. How many know He is our joy today? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Then we go to chapter 15, verse 8. 15, verse 8. "And God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness." Now, Peter's rehearsing what happened in chapter 10 with the Gentiles. And he said, "God knowing which knowing their hearts," or the hearts, "bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us." Again, God's no respecter person. God knows our hearts, doesn't He? I'm glad God knows our heart. Man many times misjudges us, but God looks upon the heart. We look outwardly many times. We, you know, like Samuel did, as Jack brought out the other night. You know, Samuel thought that one of those sons were going to be the king, but God rejected every one of them. And finally they brought David in, and the Holy Ghost came on him, and he was nominated, hallelujah, by God, to be the king. Amen? God knows the hearts. But Samuel was looking outwardly, but God says, you got to see the heart. Praise the Lord. Now look, Look at verse 9. Put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Purifying their hearts by faith. Then we look up to chapter 15, verse 28. Verse 28. Here they made some decisions in this church. Different things they had to make here. But in verse 28, it says, "It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." Now notice what the Holy Ghost said. "That you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, from fornication, and from which, if you keep yourself, you shall do well. Fare ye well." How many know that's still in effect today? Amen? Oh, yes. And it's wrong to eat blood, isn't it? Brother Glenn teaches on fat and blood. Amen. I used to have an old grandma. She loved to eat fat. She was an Indian. Big Indian. Half Cherokee. And she loved to eat just raw fat. But she did. Amen. Of course, she'd eat other things, too. No, you eat meat, but you don't eat, we don't eat, we eat cooked meat, you know. We don't eat raw meat. Raw meat. Blood sausage, you know, then there's blood pudding and all those things that they talked about the other day. Okay, look here in chapter 16. Chapter 16 now, please, let's look there. And look in verse 6. And it says here, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia..." This is Paul and his company, "and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Now here, the Spirit stopped Paul and said, "Don't go into Asia." Now you got all Asia out there and all the people, all the mass of humanity, and God says, "Don't go. Don't go." I mean, you know, sometimes we go a certain direction and God has to divert our attention, or get our attention to divert our ways and get us to go another direction. And notice, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. Again, they're going to try it. But the Spirit, notice, suffered them not. And then, of course, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia which said, "Come over here and help us." And he went that direction. And we know they got put in jail, cast the devil out of a fortune teller, but yet they won a man and his family to God as well. Praise God. So many times, you know, we can get ahead of God. But I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Even if our heart is right, how many know someone, He's going to speak to us. He's going to get our attention. If we're really... Our mean business and our hearts right. God's going to help us. Now look in chapter 19. Chapter 19 here, the Holy Spirit's poured out, and Paul's coming to Ephesus. And, you know, brethren, Ephesus was a high calling church, sonship church, and yet, man, the enemy had come in and just really hit the people in this church. Jesus talks about it, Paul talks about it, and others. But in verse 2, he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." You know, there are Christians today that know nothing about the moving of the Holy Ghost. They know nothing about the moving of the Holy Ghost. They know nothing about the infilling of the Holy Spirit because they're not taught. He said to them, "What then were you baptized?" And they said, "Under John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." How many know God wants you to prophesy? If you claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost, God wants you to prophesy. And that can be tongues interpretation or just the gift of prophecy itself. Praise the Lord. But God wants you to learn how to prophesy. The trouble is, in some places, you can't prophesy. Some churches you go in, they don't want you to prophesy. Some of them don't give you an opportunity to prophesy. But how many know every one of us can prophesy? You may all prophesy, one by one, that all may learn, that all may be comforted. We all need to prophesy. Now, some don't want to. If they don't want to, God's not going to make them. But I'll tell you, those that do want it, it's for them. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to prophesy, don't you? Yes. Praise God. As God directs, I don't want you to jump out there and do it in myself. Yeah. A lot of times I go into places and people say, "Well, Brother Thomas, you got a word now, and I want it." Well, most time I don't give it to them. It's got to be the Holy Ghost. Amen? Get people calling you once in a while. "I want a word." Well, sometimes I've had a word, and sometimes I just tell them I don't have nothing.
If you want hot air, I'll give that to you. But that's about it. Come on. I don't try to work it up. You can't work this up. God works it in you. And when God wills, you move. If God don't will, you don't move. Amen. If they've all come and filled the church building for prophecy and God don't move, that's fine. Then you got people just coming for promises. That's all they want. They don't want the Word of God. But thank God for those that want the gift and those that will be benefited from it and learn from it and yet will listen to the Word of God as well. Now, look in chapter 20, verse 23. 2023. It says, Paul, going back here in verse 22, he said, "Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, what will happen to me, say that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Next verse, "but none of these things move me." I want you to see that. "Neither can I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry that I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul said, "I don't care for his bonds and afflictions. They don't move me." I tell you, and I believe that man meant exactly what he said. I mean, no, he was persecuted terribly. But he said, "They don't move me." Hallelujah. "I don't count my soul, my life dear unto myself." Something had happened to Paul on the inside. God had worked something in this man's heart for him to say that. Amen? Thank God. Now, look in chapter 20, verse 28. Here, Paul's warning this last church at Ephesus, And here he said, "Take heed to yourselves." That's to the elders. And then he said, "To all the flock," the elders and the flock, "over the which the Holy Ghost have made you" what? "Overseers," or shepherds, or elders, or, you know, the leaders of the flock, "and notice the feed," the word "feed" means shepherd, "to shepherd the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing" what? "The flock." These are savage wolves coming in to destroy the flock. They have no mercy upon God's people. "Also of yourselves among the elders shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and to draw or drag disciples after them." Everybody see that? After them. Now, so he said, the Holy Ghost has got to make you an overseer if you're going to be one. God has to make a man an overseer. And what's he to do? He's to feed the flock of God. And I'll tell you what an overseer is not to do. He is not to get into perversion, that is speaking perversion, and he's not to drag disciples after him. We're to point people to Jesus. Amen? I don't want nobody on my coattail just running after me. Come on, hear me. Let them run after Jesus. Look in chapter 21:11. 21:11. Hallelujah. Here's a prophet named Agabus. His name means locust. God will burn up our pea patch too. I've said that many times. When he had come to us, he took Paul's girdle, Paul's belt. Now here's an apostle taking hold. Here's a prophet taking hold of an apostle's belt, raising up the skirt, I guess you'd say, in one sense. "And bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost." Well, when you say that, how many know you better know what you're saying? "So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this belt or this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem." Now, you notice something? The prophet told him what would happen, but the prophet never persuaded him either way. But the people said, "Paul, don't you go up there, Paul. You're going to get hurt. Something's going to happen to you." But look at verse 13. "What mean you to weep and break my heart? I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Look at the next verse. "When he would not be persuaded, we see saying the will of the Lord be done." I know some say Paul missed it, but I don't believe he did. I've studied the book of Acts a lot. I don't think he missed it. I may be wrong, but I don't think he missed it. I mean, I'm open to God, if you know. But I don't believe Paul missed it. I really don't. That's my opinion. Everybody's got their own. Look in chapter 28 now. 28. I want to look at one scripture here and one in Acts 14. We'll be done. Acts 28:25. 28:25. It says here, some believe verse 24, "Of those things Paul spake, he was preaching the kingdom. And when they agreed not among themselves," and of course we know that happens a lot, doesn't it? "They departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, Go to the people And say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. In verse 30, Paul's in the hard house. In verse 31, he's preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now look in Acts 14. We'll close. Oh, hallelujah. Acts chapter 14. Praise you, Jesus. Acts chapter 14. And look down to verses 7. Here we see a man is crippled from his mother's womb. Never walked. But I want you to notice in verse 7, there they, that's Paul and Barnabas, preached the what? Now, what gospel did they preach? The kingdom. The kingdom. I mean, the kingdom gospel will get you healed. Get you saved. Get you filled with the Holy Ghost. Get you delivered. Isn't that right? Get you matured in the Lord. And there sat a certain man at Lystra. I want you to know where he's at. At Lystra. I mean, that's the place where Paul was stoned. And yet Paul goes back to Lystra. And so it said, there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And notice it says here, the same heard Paul speak. Well, what did Paul speak? The gospel of the kingdom, didn't he? Who steadfastly beholding him, Paul beholding him, and notice Paul perceiving that he had faith to be healed. How many know that's going to be real faith now because this man's never walked? I mean, he's never took one step. And yet Paul's preaching the kingdom and all of a sudden he's moving in the Spirit. Glory. He's discerning. He's perceiving that this man who had never walked has faith to be healed. I mean, you can't do that on your own. Said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. Yet this man's never walked. But Paul, you don't understand. I come out of the womb like this. I've never took a step. No, he didn't say that. Perceiving he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand on your feet, and he leaped. He didn't just walk. He leaped and walked. I mean, he jumped up in the air and began to take off. Glory. How many know that is faith? Huh? My. Now, he wasn't healed here because Paul, was an apostle. He was healed because faith had been imparted to him by hearing the gospel. It's important to set on the word, isn't it? And Paul did three things. Paul preached, Paul perceived, and Paul gave the command. This man, it said that he heard, and when he heard, faith come into him. And he obeyed, he leaped and walked. Glory. Brethren, when the Holy Ghost starts moving, anything's possible. Amen? And so I want to encourage you today to lean heavily upon the Spirit of God. Because I tell you, the same Holy Ghost that was poured out in the book of Acts, is God wants to pour that precious Spirit out upon us in this generation. Upon you and your children. And upon your loved ones, your neighbors, whoever. Amen? Praise God. My neighbor came out the other day and God gave me a word of knowledge for her and it just set her back. I could just see it on her face. But it was a word of knowledge and she acknowledged it was true. But I didn't just run over and grab her and pray for her. But I said, well, the Lord touch you and the Lord heal you or something like that. But I was getting ready to go to Manchester. Remember that there in the airport? There was a big lady sitting there and I saw a condition in her arm and then I went over and talked to her, and finally I found out what it was. It was in her fingers and hands and going up her arms. And I just said, well, the Lord's concerned for you. But I tell you, God can move. He don't have to just be in a church service. He can move anywhere. Wherever you go, Holy Ghost is in you. You take the Holy Ghost where you go. Isn't that right? Praise God. Let's stand. Hallelujah. So let's take the Holy Ghost with us today. Amen. Amen. And you know something, brethren? If we'll start reaching out to us, somebody else, quit thinking about yourself, start thinking about somebody else. I mean, God will start reaching out to you. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you today for the work and the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for these great men and women in the book of Acts that received and Lord was so mightily used. But yet, God, you're no respecter of persons. You, in 1993 of this year, you're able to use everyone in this room. God, I just ask your gifts to be poured out upon the people here, healing and miracles. Lord, tongue, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, discerning of spirits, gift of faith, working of miracles, Lord, gifts of healings. Oh, God, the prophetic word, Lord, I pray that the impartation of your power and your anointing will be given to your saints right here, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. As they cry out for you, Lord,
yes,
as they get before you, God, and as they cry out, God, use them, Lord. Open their eyes to see. Open their ears to hear.
Yes.
Give them, Lord, faith in their heart to believe for others and with others, Lord, as well. Hallelujah. Bill, the Lord wants to encourage you today. Where's Bill at? Okay. Bill, the Lord's wanting to encourage you today, and the Lord just is reaching out to you. And I just see your feet going, dancing before the Lord and going even different directions before the Lord as God will direct you. But I feel God's wanting to encourage you and just touch your heart and fill you today anew and afresh with His presence and with His anointing. And God said, just let that inspiration of the Holy Spirit come upon you. And you'll be inspired yourself, and you'll be able to inspire others as I will direct you, saith the Lord. But I'm giving you an ear to hear, and I'll give you an eye to see. And the Lord says, rest in Him and know that I've heard your prayer, and God is sending answers to you that you need. And God's going to speak to you, Bill. God's going to show you some things to come, and He's going to reveal Himself to you in a new light, in a new way. But God's saying today for you to rest in Him. Just rest in Him. Don't be persuaded by man to go this way or that way or do this or that, but just wait on God, listen to God's voice, and there shall be new direction in your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Brother Rod, I just sense the Lord wanting to minister life to you today, too, and encourage you as well. And the Lord said the bridges that are behind you are burned and consumed. They're over. But God said it's a new day for you. It's a new time for you. And God said there's going to be a new direction for you. And the Lord's going to shine up on your pathway in this hour. He's going to enlighten your darkness. And He's going to fill you with and flood your soul with light in this hour. And God says, be encouraged. For I shall touch your emotions, I shall touch your will, and I shall touch your desires, and I shall meet your needs, saith the Lord. So be not weary or well-doing, and fret not yourself because of the finances, for God said, I have that in hand, and my hand is able to open hearts. You just do my bidding, do my that which I command you, and I'll take care of the other, God says. If you'll obey me, then you'll see the hand of the Lord at work, and you'll see every need met, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Him. Glory. Praise God. Praise God. Sister Rose, the Lord said you are a praiser and you are a dancer before Him. And God has seen your faith and God has seen your heart. And God has seen that the joy within you bubbles up and it spills out to others. And the Lord says, don't stop it. Just keep praising the Lord. Keep dancing and worshiping the Lord. For God's hand's upon you. My hand, my arm is outstretched to you. And God says that I'm going to visit you. I'm going to speak some intimate things to your heart. And you're going to know that God lives in this hour. For I shall meet your need and I shall speak to your heart. And I shall bring comfort in those areas in your inner man that must be touched at this time. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Little sister right here in the white, God wants to encourage you, the trials you've been in, the tribulation you've been in. And God said, I'm greater than that trial. I'm greater than that tribulation. I'm greater than that situation that you face. And God said, take your hand off. Take your hand off. And you, when you take your hand off, I'm putting my hand on it. And I'm going to bring repentance. I'm going to bring this thing to a head. God said, and it's going to change very quickly. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we have to believe that, don't we? We have to believe that. Don't deny. You know, we have to believe that word that when God speaks, He speaks and He'll do what He says. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Our brother back here that has the little children. I forget your name. I'm sorry. Yes. Praise the Lord. I just see the Lord putting confidence within you. And I'm seeing Him putting the belt of truth upon you. And He's putting boldness in you. And God's going to cause a great boldness to take you over. And of course, by the Spirit, of course. And God's saying, rise up, my son, and take that leadership in your home in this hour. And as you rise up and take the leadership, then many spirits are going to be expelled and going to be gone. And I'm going to bring a great comfort. I'm going to bring great joy into your life and into your children, your family's life. And other round about, you're going to see a great change in you. And it's going to even affect them, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Well, I tell you, He's able to do things, isn't He? He's able. Praise God. He's able. Praise the Lord. This little lady in the purple, just step out in the aisle, would you please? Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just step right there. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I just see your feet going different directions, and the Lord's going with you. And I see some barriers being erased out of your way, and I see some barriers being erased out of your way, and I see a clear path before you. And sometimes you've waffled a little bit or wobbled a little bit, but God said there'll be no more of that. There'll be a path for straight feet, and you'll know the direction of the Lord. And it won't be a guesswork. There'll be an inward knowing of where God's leading. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Is the interpreter back there? Brother, would you give that brother? Yeah, give him. I'll give you a word for him. Praise the Lord. Amen. The hand of the Lord is upon you, my son, and I'm going to shake you in this hour. And it's not a bad shaking. It's a good shaking. And God's going to visit you. I'm opening your ears and your understanding. And I'm going to send you back to your people with a message. And that message is going to set them free. And you're going to see the Lord in a dimension that you've not seen Him. And your heart is for the people. And because of your love for the people, I'm going to visit you. I'm going to open your eyes. And you're going to see me in a new way. And the people's going to know that I have visited you. And you will have many answers for them, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give the Lord a good hand today. Come on. Give Him a good hand. Give Him a good hand. Praise His name. Praise His wonderful holy name. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Oh, to be His hand extended, reaching out to Thee, oppressed. Let me touch Him, let me touch Jesus, so that others may know. Touch Him, let me touch Jesus, so that others may know and be blessed.
Father, we thank You for Your word this day, Father. Lord, may it be sealed upon our hearts and our minds, Father. Lord, do not let this word be wasted, Father, but let us carry it to others, Father. This Holy Ghost and power, Father, the greatness of Your love and Your mercy, Lord, toward us, and this power that's within us, Father. Oh, we praise You for the Holy Ghost. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. Hallelujah, set your heart a-dancing this afternoon. The Holy Ghost and power. Now, Father, we ask You to bless this food, Lord. And we break every curse off of this food, Lord. Knowingly, unknowingly, Father, over the drink even, Father. And we ask You to sanctify it to the nearest of our bodies, Father. And our bodies for Your kingdom, we pray. And everybody says, Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.